We'll be continuing, okay? We actually have the notes already from 2 weeks back before the anniversary. It's actually dated 13th, okay? It's actually practical aspects of the Holy Spirit applied to the Christian life, okay? So today, we actually be looking specifically at this. I think there's still some more. Does everyone have? Yes, I hope you have. Okay, I just have one more copy here if anyone needs, just for my own reference, but if need, I can always pass out, okay? Now, this is an important... this is an important lesson. Why? Because it has to do with our interaction with God. Okay? The Holy Spirit is often called the shy member of the Trinity, the silent member of the Trinity, but this is the age of the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is the age of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's main role is to bring glory to Christ, bring people to Christ, and to glorify Christ. Okay? So, and yet, because of some people's emphasis on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, those people who are Bible believers tend to shun away and say, oh no, we cannot teach on the Holy Spirit. That is not true. Okay? It's important on a few levels. Just very quickly, alright, instruction before we pray. The Holy Spirit, for the younger Christians, just like a little baby growing up, may not fully understand all the workings of the Holy Spirit, but that's okay. The Holy Spirit works anyway. But for us as older Christians, who understand a little bit more of the Holy Spirit, we need to be able to appropriate and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Does it make sense? Okay, and this is something that we want to learn today. Okay, so let's just pray and commit this time to the Lord, prepare our hearts, and I hope that it will be useful as we search the scriptures about different areas of the Holy Spirit application to our lives. Okay, let's just pray and thank God and commit this hour to the Lord. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come expectantly, Lord, to you in your presence this morning. Father, I pray that as we come into the house of the Lord, Father, we will not come here with a heavy heart, because that is contrary to the scriptures. Although sometimes practically we do have a heavy heart, but we yet, Lord, help us to have the mindset of the psalmist David, that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 112, verse 1. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will always, always create that joy to be in the presence of your word that is taught. In the presence of your people, but most of all, Lord, as we step into your presence. Lord, we know you know that we do not think of that mystical type of presence, but yet thy word teaches it's true. That thy word says that when two or three are gathered in your name, doing your will, teaching your word, honoring your name, we pray and thank you, Lord, that you are in the midst with us. So we thank you even in this Sunday Bible hour. And we pray that many people will make the effort, Lord, to come early, that their lives and their mind will be saturated, Lord, with thy word. For the young people upstairs, the children, I pray, as a Sunday school teachers, take responsibility for instructing them in your word too, that these young ones will grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we explore, Lord, thy word regarding the Holy Spirit, I pray today, your Holy Spirit will be the teacher, because you're going to teach about yourself. And I pray that whatever I say will be consistent, Lord, with the mind, thinking, and teaching of the Holy Spirit, of the Bible with regards to the Holy Spirit. Speak to us in a powerful way. We pray that we will grow somewhat today as a result of our understanding, Lord, of how you work with us. We thank you. May the Lord Jesus Christ in his name be honored today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, just a few recap, just very quickly. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12:13. All right, let's start there. 1 Corinthians 12:13. I'll just quickly, probably in the next 5 minutes, just run through the introduction. And then we'll go to how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Okay, some preliminary thoughts. Okay, let's read together, okay? 1 Corinthians 12:13. Ready? 1, 2, begin. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Okay? The Bible is very clear. When we get saved, the one-time thing is we are actually baptized into one whole body of Christ. Okay? And talk about the body here has to do with being born again. Okay? Born again. You must be very, very clear on that. However, as a Christian, when we are baptized, God actually joins us to a particular local church. God joins us to a particular local church. And the Holy Spirit joins every one of us in unity in that particular church. Let's turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. This is an important truth. Paul actually spoke this very specifically to the church at Ephesus and actually highlighted the unity that was already present in the church. Okay? Ephesians 4 and verse number 3. Okay, let's read there. Ready? 1, 2, go. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul actually tells the Ephesian Christian, I want you to put all your effort, I want you to increase your strength, endeavor to keep the unity, oneness of the Holy Spirit in the local church, in the bond of peace. That means that the moment we got baptized and joined the church or were transferred, when God adds us to that local church, God already given us that unity. Did you know that? Because think about practically speaking, think of the first time you actually joined the church. Okay, everyone who joins the church are happy, they're smiling because they're joined to a church, people give them the right hand of fellowship, there's no baggage, and we're all united. And then somewhere along the line, things happen and things start to move. That's why Paul told the Ephesian church, endeavor, put all your effort, do the right thing to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay, so baptism of the Holy Spirit takes place one time when we get saved, but when we join the church, God actually puts us into the local church and gives us a unity in the Spirit. Alright? So regeneration, indwelling, and sealing of and baptism of the Holy Spirit are all accomplished once for all at the time of salvation. Regeneration means being born again. Indwelling, the Holy Spirit comes in. Sealing, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13, we're all baptized into the body of Christ. That's why we can say we are in Christ. We are in Christ. Okay? Any questions? That's the first point. The next one is comparing filling of the Holy Spirit versus spiritual maturity. In 2 Peter 3:18, the Bible, Peter tells the Jewish Christians, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace. The word grace there has to do with the graces, the characters of the Holy Spirit, and the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian, as they grow, must manifest two things in their life. An increasing knowledge of the Word, because that's what it says, and an increasing likeness to Jesus Christ. I say again, every Christian, as they grow, must manifest two things, an increasing knowledge in the Word and an increasing likeness to Jesus Christ. That's what Peter is urging the Jews, grow in the graces, in the grace, and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's important. You know, if we put that as a goal of the Christian life, you won't go wrong, amen? Because that's what Peter says. If you put that as a goal, you know, when I've learned as a young church planter, we started Ambassador, was thinking on this, and realized that when we just focus on being like Jesus Christ, everything else falls into place. Because you want to be like Christ, he's an evangelist. You want to be like Christ, he's an obedient child to the Father. You want to be like Lord Jesus Christ, you're obedient to authority. You want to be like Jesus Christ, you will forgive when you have to. You want to be like Jesus Christ, you sacrifice when you have to. And you live the whole life of Christ, just, Lord, I just want to be like you. And then you'll be doing all the things that Jesus will be doing. Alright, that's, I don't know about you, that, to me, as a simple Christian, that is my goal. And I hope that's your goal too. Just to be like Christ, you'll find that your entire life will be governed by the Scriptures. Okay? So, Christians are encouraged to grow. A newborn believer may be filled with the Holy Spirit, but he may be immature. Okay? And that is something that some people have problems with. You know, how can a young believer be filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes, he can, according to the Scriptures. In other words, a young believer can be more faithful, more active, more zealous, more lover of the Word than a Christian that's been around for 15 years. Would you agree with that? Why? Because they are filled with the Holy Spirit and they love the Word. They may not be as mature in many areas, but when the Holy Spirit takes control, they can do a lot. Apostle Paul, for example, you know, when he went, he was all out for the Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning to the end because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, Old Testament, just comparing the Old Testament, filling of the Holy Spirit means the Holy Spirit, we don't have more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually have more of us. Because we already have the Holy Spirit. And so as we yield to Him, the Holy Spirit takes control of more parts. I used this illustration before. Imagine your house is a room. Imagine your life is a house with 10 rooms. Okay, and you have the key to every room. How many keys have you given over to the Holy Spirit? That He can go in at any time, know any decoration He wants. And by the way, when God comes into our life, He doesn't want to mess up our life. We only feel that He messes up our life because we want to control our life. Would you agree with that? But when the Holy Spirit comes in and we give the key to Him, He goes in and starts decorating your life and makes it even better. Okay? So when you talk about filling of the Holy Spirit, it can be likened, after I give you a few examples, of giving the keys to every door of your house. It could be the door of career, door of your finances, door of your feelings, the door of how you think about things, sometimes door of your family, the door of church life, the door of sometimes even personality. And you say, Lord, I'm willing to surrender every key to You. Okay? So that's the filling of the Holy Spirit. Comparing the Old Testament filling of the Holy Spirit was always temporary for a special purpose, but New Testament filling of the Holy Spirit is a universal experience for all Christians who are submitted to Christ. Okay? Point number three, the Bible is clear, we are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 and verse number 18. Ephesians 5 and verse number 18, right? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to touch a little bit on that, and then we'll move on to how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Please stop me, all right, if there is any question. In Ephesians 5, 18, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Two things about that. Number one is a command. Every Christian is commanded in the phrase to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Number two, in the Greek tense, it actually indicates a continuous command. In other words, you are to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? The reason is this. We have another person inside of us that always wants to wreak havoc in our lives. It's called the flesh. The moment you let go of that control, the flesh takes over. Did you know that? Very easy. A good example, when you're supposed to study for exam. I need to study. 2 hours later. Something takes over. Unless someone, okay, wake up again. I need to study. Alright, yeah, of course, tiredness. By the way, the Bible says, much study is weariness of the flesh. Amen? The more you study secular subjects, you actually get more tired. Okay? So, there is that flesh and the spirit. So, God actually tells us in this verse, Ephesians 5:18, that we need to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what does it mean? Give you some illustrations of that. Number one, a cup. When you fill up a cup, the water fills up. Okay? If your cup is empty, there is a Holy Spirit. But when you keep filling it, it fills to the brim. Okay? That's one illustration. Another illustration of being filled with the Holy Spirit is like a wind blowing into a sail. You know what's a sail? Okay, a boat. And so when the wind blows and you put up the sail, you capture the wind and you go along with the Holy Spirit. Alright? So that is another illustration. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be moved along in our Christian life by God Himself. Some Christians do not put up the sail when the Holy Spirit blows. When God's Holy Spirit moves and says, I need you to do this, they don't put up the sail. They don't move. Okay, and they stay the same place for a long time. Another illustration this author actually mentioned was salt permeating into meat. If you have a piece of meat and you put salt in it, usually when you marinate meat, they always ask you to set it for maybe half an hour or 2 hours, right? Now, what's the reason for that? Come on, cooks. What happens? Come on, Joshua, you're smiling. You cooked before. So that the flavor will go in. Okay? The Holy Spirit's filling of our life is the same as salt permeating us. And when it goes into us, God, the Holy Spirit, the divine nature actually becomes part and parcel of our nature. You know, that's a wonderful picture. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Do you realize that God actually has given us His nature as Christians? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Let's read together. Memorize it if you have to. So that you realize actually you're not on your own. You're not on your own as a Christian. You have the divine nature of God for you to do right inside of you. Let's read verse 4. 2 Peter 1 verse 4. Ready? 1, 2, go. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, Peter makes it clear to the Jewish Christians, you are given all the word of God, that by these, as you accept the word of God into your life, you become partakers. What's partake? That means you get involved with, you have the divine nature inside of you. No matter how young you are as a Christian, okay, those younger Christians who feel, I can't live the Christian life, God actually has given you a brand new motto in your life. It's just that you have to use it rather than use the old motto, okay? In your life. And when you have permeated with the Holy Spirit, it's like salt flavoring your life so that what we say, think, and do reflects God. Okay? Another one is total control. The principle of total control is this. For example, when a person is filled with sorrow, what happens? When a person is overcome with sorrow, what happens? He's totally controlled by one emotion. Right? Totally controlled. And in some settings, if you think of what's being practiced in some other religions, you know, how they, you know, they just move and they cannot control themselves. They're under control by something else. Can I say this? It will never happen to a Christian. Do you know why? Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That means the Holy Spirit will come in as much as you allow Him to. The Holy Spirit will come in as much as you allow Him to. If you allow Him full control, He takes control of everything. If you allow Him, I don't want this part. You know what? If He thinks it's an important part, He will keep knocking, say, I think this is an important part. You know what? He's not going to force His way into your life. Okay? And then something that as Christians we need to learn. Other examples is when someone is filled with fear, it totally controls. Yesterday we were at a supermarket and we saw this big brown otter. Okay, it's called what otter is it? What's its name? It's an otter. It's a Health Promotion Board, this big, sometimes there'll be a man inside and then they wear this big mascot. It's like a health promotion thing. It's about this height. And then as we were walking in there, we thought, hey, this one real or bluff one? No. Then after that, I know it's real because I saw his head moving like this. Okay, then I kind of pat him on the back. He didn't turn. And then after that, Jeremiah also was not too sure whether he's a real or one. Then suddenly, I think someone hit him on the back. Then he turned and said, and one of my children said, he was so streaked up with fear. After that, he said, wow, my heart very pain. It could be a shock or something like that. So when you're controlled by fear, what happens? When you're controlled by fear, what happens to you? you run and what happens when the cockroach runs through here? What happens? So Shaolin, what will you do if a cockroach runs past? Okay, so for her, it's catch it, no problem. Okay, what if a rat passed us through here? When we were cleaning upstairs for BBS one time, the rat was pouncing. I was screaming, "Rat, rat!" And then I think Jeremiah was not running. Papa is just trying to frighten us. And literally, the rat was just pouncing around and was going out. Then after I see a lot of people running after me, everyone jumping onto the what? Why they were totally controlled by a small, cute, furry animal, right? Yeah. You know, when you're totally controlled by something, you find that your mind, your heart, your actions are controlled by that object or that thing. Does it make sense? When you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, He will only allow you to behave in a way consistent with the principles of the scriptures. Okay? So that is important. Okay. This filling of the Holy Spirit is a moment by moment relationship. And you know what? I want us to let it sink in. The filling of the Holy Spirit is a moment by moment relationship. In other words, you can feel very spiritually high here, but the moment you hit the bus stop and go home, you can be talking about other things already. You can be, your words start being controlled by the flesh already. In other words, when you leave this room and God spoke to your heart about certain things, you need to be praying in your heart and say, Lord, thank you for speaking to me. Help me to keep this in my mind. Okay, let's turn to Joshua 1:8. I think we all know the verse. Just want to touch on that a little bit because it's important for our meditation on this. Talking about being filled with the Spirit. Right, Joshua 1:8. We'll just talk about the first part, all right? Joshua 1:8. The Bible says, this book of the law is a sixth book of the Bible, Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You know what that means? It means Joshua, God told Joshua that my word, you need to be talking about it all the time. That's what it means by not allowing it to depart. For example, if maybe in church you talk about spiritual things, the moment you go in the bus stop, wow, Brazil, how can Brazil be trashed by Germany 7-1-1? Huh? How can? The coach has something wrong or no? And then, you know, as you keep, and then after that, you talk about, you know what? The word of God has departed out of your mouth. In other words, you no longer talk about it anymore. I'm not saying it's wrong to talk about World Cup. But if the preoccupation is about this, can I say from the authority of Scripture, you need to check whether the Holy Spirit have control. Because the reason why we talk about that is because we immediately submit to what we think is important to us. When God says, I want you to continually speak of the Holy Spirit. But Johnny, does that mean that every time I must talk about church service? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that I believe God speaks to us as we read the Bible, as we learn certain things, as we are reflective of my work. You know, I was so tempted to steal, but thank God He spoke to my heart. And you know, and on the moment-by-moment basis, there's a continuous mindset of being preoccupied with the Holy Spirit. Okay, in my own experience, I learned one thing. I need to continuously ask God, God, fill me. God, help me. God, help me to think right. You know, sometimes when things happen, you want to get angry. And that's where you immediately say, Lord, please control my heart. Lord, help me to be in submission to your word as I deal with this situation. All right? Any questions? The filling of the Holy Spirit is a moment by moment, and that may be hindered by sin. Okay? That may be hindered by sin. Okay, any questions there? That's just preliminary thoughts. We're going to move in. How to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want us to pay attention because I believe this is important. It will revolutionize your spiritual life. It will revolutionize our church life. It will change things. It will just change things. Why? Because when God takes control, things become different for His glory. Okay? So if you want God to direct your life and give you power to live, let's turn to John 3:8 first as a beginning to understand His movement. Okay? If you have any questions, please put up your hand. John chapter 3 and verse 8. John 3 and verse number 8. Okay, let's read together, okay? This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Ready? 1, 2, go. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Okay? Here, Lord Jesus tells Nicodemus, where the wind blows, okay, the context is Nicodemus talking about being born again in salvation. Okay? The Lord Jesus, in the process of teaching Nicodemus about salvation, actually expounds also the ministry of the Holy Spirit in salvation. So what does he say? The wind blows where it wants to blow. Listeth means where it wants to blow. And thou hearest the sound, but you cannot tell whence it cometh. But whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Basically, the wind, just look up for a while. I'm going to blow into the paper, okay? So if I blow, you don't see the breath, but you can see the outcome. You don't see the breath, but you can see the outcome. When the Holy Spirit actually takes control of a person's life, the changes are evident. Okay? The changes are evident. Which means it's actually pretty easy for us to see whether a person is growing in Christ or not. That God calls us fruit inspectors. We are not judges, we are fruit inspectors. Okay? So, as you think on the Holy Spirit, remember you may not fully understand the works of God is mysterious. But the secret of the Lord, listen to this, we may not fully, some people use that as an excuse, oh, I don't really know what the Word of God says. Anyway, God's Word is always mysterious. The Bible says the works of God is mysterious, but the Bible also says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. Those people who have a genuine fear for God, those people who want to live for God, you are able sometimes to see spiritual realities that God will show you. That a person who doesn't submit to God can. Alright? Now that is not to say there's one class of Christian and another class of Christian. That's not to say. The principal platform when we can I say this? As a pastor, I may not see things compared to a humble Christian as in the church member that is more yielded to God than me. Does it make sense? I may be, you know, sometimes I can be pig-headed and this pastor, how can't you see this? Because that Christian in the pew is more submitted to the Holy Spirit, more humble, that God speaks to that person through the Word. As a pastor, I'm pig-headed, stubborn, I can't see things. Position doesn't determine anything. Age doesn't determine anything. I've seen older Christians who are not as on fire compared to younger Christians who love the Lord. So we need to be very careful, okay? So let's go through a few things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Maybe we'll take a few verses. We'll start with Uncle Roland, maybe. Matthew 5 and verse 6, if you don't mind. And then if Sister Shaoling, you can turn to 1 John 1 verse 5. 1 John 1 verse 9. And then if Sean, you can turn to Psalm 66 and verse 18. And Brother Timothy Lee, you can turn to Romans 6, 13. And then if Ben, can I ask you to turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 13? Okay, we'll just stop there for a while. Okay, so we'll read the verses loud and clear. Then we'll go through the points, okay? How to be filled with the Holy Spirit. 5 or 6, Matthew. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Number one, there must be a desire for Him, for the Holy Spirit to control your life. There must be a desire for it. Okay, there must be a desire. The Bible says here very clearly, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Okay, in the context, it has to do with some of the life principles of a Christian. Did you know that as a Christian, you are to constantly hunger and thirst after what God wants, what is right. Not what we think, not what we think our careers should be, but what He wants for. There must be a desire for Him. Okay? This one. Is 1 John 1 9? Okay, that is a promise for every Christian. When we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is important because this is not one time. I feel a few times from different Christians from the same church who says that because Jesus has forgiven your sin once and for all, you don't ever have to say sorry to anyone again on earth or in heaven. Okay. Because Jesus has forgiven your sin. You don't have to say sorry if I offended my wife or for Uncle Roland. I don't have to say sorry, Uncle Roland, I did that. Because why? Jesus has forgiven my sin. I don't have to. That is not scriptural, right? That is not scripture. Okay? Here, John actually puts in, if you will confess your sin, if you will be clear about the fact that you have sinned and confess it, then God cleanses you. You know why? The Holy Spirit cannot work if there's sin. It just cannot work in that sin. He can't. He's repugnant to it. His holy nature will not allow Him to bless a life that has sin. Would you agree with that? Because of His holiness, He can't. And by the way, it is not just sin, it's known sin. Okay? In Psalm 66, verse 18, Sean? Okay, if I regard, the word regard means to consider. If I know it's there, I keep it there. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God's not going to hear me. How in the world, why in the world did I pray? I remember evangelist Ron Comfort said one thing. He actually asked this question, is there anyone on planet earth you cannot forgive? That's what he said. And then, and are you praying for your loved one to say, and you myself stop because God's not going to hear you. It's important for us to understand, in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to deal with sin. We need to deal with sin. We have to. If you don't deal with sin, the Holy Spirit cannot move. Alright? If you don't believe, search the scriptures. God may have grace. Example, in the life of Samson. God was absolutely gracious with Samson. Did you know that? There are three things that Samson was a Nazarene. There were three things he was not supposed to do. What were the three things? Not supposed to drink alcohol. Not supposed to touch a dead body. He's not supposed to cut his hair. Okay? The first thing he broke was he went to drink. Alright? Strike one. God's Holy Spirit was still with him. And then secondly, he went to touch, he took the jawbone of a dead and started to kill. He touched the body of a dead carcass. Strike two. God was still with him. You know what the last one? When he told Delilah, you cut my hair. Strike three. The Bible says, and the Lord left him. And Samson knew not that the Lord has departed from him. Christians, can I say this? Can I say this as pastor from the authority of Scripture? There are some Christians living without the power of the Holy Spirit because of sin, and they didn't know the Holy Spirit has. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave us, thank God. All right, we're not in the Old Testament. But the Holy Spirit is grieved and quenched. He cannot do anything. It's like a dad and mom who continuously instructs and instructs and instructs. But children just say, not going to do it. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. No, they're still in that relationship as father and parents and, oh, go to your class. Amen. There's a parent or instructs the children, but then the children say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. They're still parents and child, but there is that resistance. And the child doesn't grow. The relationship not strengthened. You know what? The person that really suffers is the person that doesn't submit, because the authority is clear. We need to do this because it's right. The person says no, the Holy Spirit cannot move. So that's why we need to confess our sins. We need to honestly come, Lord, I'm sorry if I just kept this. And Lord, I want your blessings more than anything else in the world. See, it goes back to your desire. Put it this way, if you really desire God and the Holy Spirit to control, you will give up anything for him. Would that be right? The Lord Jesus Christ gave up all. Why? Because do you realize we are more important to Christ than the angels? Do you realize? Do you realize the Bible says the angels are scratching their head? You made me. I'm holy to you as an angel. You go and die for these sinners? You know the Bible actually says the angels open their eyes and wonder, why in the world would our Creator die for sinners? But it goes to show how precious we are to Christ, amen? That he will give up all. Christians, are we willing to give up all to desire him? Okay, this is something for us. And so that's why we need to confess our sins, okay? Confess our sins. The next one is Romans 6:13. Okay? Next point is basically to submit you yourselves to God. The idea is give the throne of your life to Jesus Christ, the throne. That means he is in control. In every decision you make, everywhere you go, you put Christ as the number one, as a king. To live the Spirit-filled life, you must be willing to let Jesus Christ control everything you do. In other words, everything you do, your job, your career, your time, your money, your friends, your church life, Lord Jesus, you take control. What do you want me to do in this area? What do you want me to do in this area? What do you want me to do in this area? It's not what I feel like doing in this area. It's what you want me to do in this area. Because he's the king. Okay, Luke 11:13. Okay, The Bible teaches us we are filled with the Holy Spirit by faith as we ask for it in prayer. And this is an important truth. I say the Holy Spirit will not come to fill you if you don't ask for it. Okay? We all have the Holy Spirit at salvation, but I was reading some commentators on this, and the general sense is this. This is not only for salvation, but the Lord Jesus was actually prophetic in this particular phrase, in being asking us, the Christians, that you need to actually not ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that happens at salvation, but as you grow as a Christian, you need to constantly ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. And Jesus promises that when you ask in faith, He will come, and He will fill you, and He will give you the strength to do what you need to do in certain situations. Any questions? Any questions? So when you ask Holy Spirit, it's not the idea of, oh, I need to wait until He comes. As a Christian, He's already in you. Agree? He's already in you. It's how much we would allow Him to control our lives. Okay? So we are to fulfill the Holy Spirit by faith as we ask for it in prayer. Practically, as you wake up and say, Lord, what I do is, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit that I may be a blessing to my family, and the things that I do, I pray for your grace in everything, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill me so I can, my mind, my thoughts, my heart, you can control. And then, of course, 2 minutes later, Lord, help me to walk because my flesh wants to take over on a constant basis. But you know what? The more you allow the Holy Spirit to take control, the less you will need to ask. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is already taking control of many areas of your life and changing you more and more like Christ. Okay? Okay. Any questions? The next one the next one is called breathing spiritually. You know? This is something that some people say, wow, it's some mantra thing, some yoga thing. It's not, all right. It's actually a principle. The idea is every time after we've asked the Holy Spirit to take control and then we slip and let our flesh take over and we sin, we need to exhale. The word exhale means to confess your sins. Immediately. When you think a wrong thought, when you think an evil thought, when you suddenly this person do something and say, oh, no, no, or maybe people cut in front of you as you drive, those who drive, you know, and you say, Lord, forgive me, you know, I shouldn't lose control over that. Of course, he may have done wrong, but you know, we have to still be in control of our lives. Okay, so exhale, confess your sins, 1 John 1:9, then inhale, say, Lord, take control once again. You know, I'm very short tempered in this area, I need your control. And you continuously submit to God. I don't know whether you can see the practical application of that. All of us go through that practically. In your workplace, with your children, when you do things and you just get irritated with some people, they can't do it properly, or the situation, this is not what I decided. And things starts to get very, very, in your eyes, messy. But you know what? Immediately, if we respond to it in a way that is inconsistent with Scripture, immediately we need to confess that sin. Because the Scriptures teach, the thought of foolishness is sin. The moment you think a foolish thought, the Bible says it's a sin. Oh, you know what that means? The moment we think a foolish thought, to God is sin. That's what the Scriptures teach. Can you see that we can never live the Christian life without God's grace? That God has been so gracious to us to allow us to even live. In the Old Testament, when you sin, you're convicted, death. But yet in the New Testament, many times we sin. Why are we still alive? God's grace. But you know what? God is still in the what we call transaction process, whereby He wants to change us more and more like Him. Okay, so breathe spiritual, exhale, confess your sin. I don't know about you. Confession of sin is a daily part of my life. Wrong. Moment by moment, sometimes part of my life. You know, there are some churches that say, nah, don't be so negative, don't always confess sin. If you don't confess your sin, basically you're allowing dirt on your life all the time. Remember on Friday, those who came, we talked about the sheep. And the sheep, what did I say the sheep was? He's a walking Velcro, remember? And everywhere he goes, he will just collect dirt. Everywhere you go, just collect dirt. Some of our young people, you collect the dirt of the world's music, the dirt of the world's philosophies, and you just allow it to assimilate. And then what you need to do is to confess those sins and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've been listening to this, and this person said a dirty joke, I laughed at it. You realize when you actually do that, you are actually saying it's okay, and you've been foolish, and that's a thought of sin, and we need to confess that. Any questions? So we need to exhale and then say, Lord, you take control. Take control. Take control. Let me ask you a question. This is very important. When was the last time you made a decision for Christ in some area of your life? Do you realize on a daily basis there need to be small decisions you make? When you read the scriptures, I'm sure God will convict you about something or teach you something. And one of the practical applications, Lord, you've taught me that I need to share the gospel. For example, I think I applied that to church, whereby when Jesus says, preach the word to every living creature, as part of our tracting, we always say, miss the Muslim house, right? But right now, we don't. We still knock. But with wisdom, all right, if they don't open, we don't put it. But if they open, we ask politely, can we just give you something to read with regards to the gospel? So we're still preaching the gospel to every creature. Okay, when God convicts us, we make a decision. Christian, when was the last time you made a decision for a Christian life? When was the last time? I'll be baptized. I will write my testimony to encourage someone. I will not do this anymore. I will do this. When's the last time you made a decision? Okay, so this is important because when the Holy Spirit works in our life, we need to decide for Him. Okay, so then inhale, exhale. Any questions? Okay, let's move on. We need to, in Colossians 3 and verse 16, maybe I'll just shift over the side. Maybe Gideon, you can turn to Colossians 3, 16. Then Lydia, you can turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. Then Jonah, you can turn to Luke 22, 42. Catherine, can I ask you to turn to Ephesians 4, 30? And Brajun, Galatians 5, 16. And Sister Ason, maybe you stop there first before we go to the results. Okay. Colossians 3:16.
The word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Fill yourselves with God's word. Fill yourselves with God's word. The word of God is written under the pen of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And whatever that we learn from the word given to us today was inspired by God. But the Bible is very clear, holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. As the Holy Spirit took control, and as the word of God come, we need to fill ourselves with His word. And I've mentioned this many times, and I hope I will continue to mention it to the day I die. You need to know God's word like the back of your hands. You need to know His word. You need to read it. You need to meditate upon it. You need to memorize it. You need to practice it. Why? Because this is your very foundation. Jesus said, if any man hears these things of mine and do with them, I will then liken him unto a man that built his house upon a rock. Okay? But if you hear but don't do, many people hear but they don't do, then your life will be on sand. And I say this, have you ever seen people building sandcastles? I think you have, right? In church camp, we built sandcastles before, remember? We were supposed to water bomb it, I think so. When the sandcastle is built, I mean, it looks pretty steady, right? If there's a hot sun and all, it looks pretty steady on the beach, right? When does it start to crumble? What happens on the beach usually with the waves? It will come in and out. As long as the waves don't come in, your sandcastle can probably stand for a while. Yes? What happens when the wave come in? And some people, no. They just started to lie down the stand to block the water and that kind of thing and try to... But what happens when the water starts to hit the sand? Maybe a gentle one, it starts to crumble a little bit. Then suddenly a big one, the whole sandcastle is gone. You know what? That's what Jesus meant. That's what Jesus means. You know, sometimes when we build our lives on sand, it's okay, still standing. Wait till the trials come. I'll be honest with you, one of my prayer as a pastor is, if someone doesn't want to walk with God, because he's not placing his life on the word of God, and say, Lord, you need to bring something that will shake that foundation so that they'll go back to you. Well, Pastor, you're so cruel. What else can shake us but God's ways? Christians, can I ask that you place your life on God's word? Read it on a daily basis. Make a habit of it. Pray. Take advantage of FBI. You know, we even budget. Why? Because some people can't afford it. Fine, no? We will pay for it in every aspect. Let's take time to read. Don't let other things crowd out the intake of God's word, because it is absolutely vital for your life. Okay? All right, the next one, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. We need to fill ourselves with God's word. Number, the next one, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Okay, very simple. Quench not the spirit. What does it mean to quench the spirit? What does it mean to quench the spirit? What does it mean to quench the spirit? Yes, Sean. What does it mean to quench the spirit? Huh? The seriously one. Quench and grieve different. But what does it mean to quench? When it's on fire? Don't water it. Quench your thirst means what? You're very thirsty, you pour water to quench it, you get rid of it, right? Okay, so the idea is the Holy Spirit is on fire in your life and asking you to do things. Don't pour cold water over it and eliminate it. Okay? So when the scriptures teach, the apostles teach, quench not the spirit, it means don't suppress, don't stifle, don't resist, don't oppose the Holy Spirit's will. Example, the Holy Spirit says you need to get baptized. Because the scripture said so. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. Oh, Brother Jeremy, so you mean I will do that? Well, if you are to be in submission to the Holy Spirit, that's what it literally means. Did you know that? Just as a soldier in the army, when the standing order comes, you may ask questions, but you know what? The standing order is still a standing order. And those people who oppose a standing order in the army will face the music. Agree? And that's the idea. Now, but we need to understand, when I use those military terms, people get a bit, you're forcing me to do. Actually, when the Holy Spirit tells us to do, it's always good for us. Yes, it's always good for us. We may not think it's good for us, but the Holy Spirit only has good intentions for us. And when He asks us to follow Christ in a certain direction, we may not understand. But because we try to talk about that in the service, but we trust God, because we know Him, will do the best for us, we will then follow Him. Okay? So don't say no to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit leads us to do something, don't pour water on it, don't quench it. Be yielded to the will of God as a rule of your life. Quench means a refusal to follow the clear leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Yieldedness to the Holy Spirit includes a few things. Number one, you can write down if you like, submission to the plain teaching of this Word of God. Submission to the plain teaching of the Word of God. You know, if God says one, I say one. If God says two, I say two. If God says to give, I give. If God says to live, I live. If God says to die, I die. Well, according to the scripture. If basically whatever the Bible teaches, we do. With an obedient heart, a willing heart. Okay? It also includes obedience to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, as in Bible reading, as in prayer, as in soul winning. We had a men's meeting, one brother shared that sometimes, you know, sharing the gospel with someone, it might be a bit troublesome and all that, but you know, you just do it as a form of duty, but you know, and God bless that duty, because we are willing to be there where the Holy Spirit led. And that's an encouragement, okay? It's to obey the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And then in Luke 22, and verse 42, someone has that verse? Luke 22, 42, yeah, Joanna? Okay, the next point is to accept by faith the acts of God in our lives. Example, suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ went through suffering for us. He actually said, Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. Don't let me go through this suffering. And the suffering is not it partly is a cross. But you know what was the greatest suffering that Jesus went through? What's the greatest suffering that Jesus Christ went through? Is it the cross? The cross is part of it, small part. But you must understand, the biggest suffering that Jesus went through was the separation from God the Father for our sins, the spiritual suffering that he had to go through. Basically, literally, Jesus suffered our hell so that we can go to heaven. Did you know that? And you know, I never understood that until a few years ago, even as a pastor, when I realized when Jesus said, "Father, why, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" At that particular point, the spiritual death, we all know, is defined by a separation from God. At that point in history of man, God the Father was separated from God the Son for us. When we realize that Jesus suffered so much for us, and he himself had demonstrated the testimony of being sin, submission to God's will, even obedience to the death of the cross, Philippians chapter 2. Christians, may we have that heart of saying, "Lord, if that's how you obey it and you want me to follow you, Lord, help me to be in submission to your Holy Spirit." Can I say this though? As an encouragement, the Holy Spirit will not lead you where he's not going to stay with you and empower you and help you. Amen? He's going to be there. He's going to give you the power. Every missionary who loves the Lord and will testify, no matter how dark the hour is, they always see God's hand with them because they were willing to follow. And because they're willing to follow, souls get saved. And that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, right? And so part of being submitted to the Holy Spirit means we also are willing to submit to suffering. And that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing. As human beings, we don't like suffering. How many of you like, "I love to suffer"? How many of you say that? No. But you know what? If God causes us to go through it, just as a parent would not allow our young, cute children to go through suffering unless it's necessary. Example, when Jeremiah, many years ago, had a big cut on the right lip here, and his mouth literally opened. Of course, as parents, you want to be there, but after a while, the doctor says you have to be out. You need to put your child to sleep. The nurses will come, you know. You need to knock your child out, and then after, we have to go and sew the things and all that. You know, as a parent, I can't do anything. But doctors can, and they are trained to do that. I need to surrender my child, and my wife, we went out, we prayed. And surrendered my child to the nurses. I can still remember what Jeremiah said as a 5-year-old or 6-year-old. You know what he said? "Baba, pray for me. Baba, pray for me." After that, his eyes just knocked out. But thank God, 2 hours later, he's fine. And some, today, you can't really see. But if you really see clearly, there's stitch from inside. Thank God they did a good job. But no, at that time, we can only say, "Lord, we can't do anything." As parents, can you imagine your children's mouth tear and there's a big gaping hole? Can you imagine if he grows up with a kind of... Thank God I live in Singapore, amen. If you live in other countries where there's no medical intervention, you're probably one side small part. But you know, even in that, the Holy Spirit teaches us, submit, let the doctors do it. They can do it. And you know, we need to surrender our heart and let God take control. Okay? And that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Okay? Ephesians 4:30. Did someone have the verse? Ephesians 4:30, sorry, not 13, 3:0. Okay, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Just now, Sean mentioned quench is actually putting out the fire. Grieve is when the Holy Spirit tells us to do something. The fire comes, we say, the Holy Spirit quenches it. Grieving the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit says, "Don't do that. It's wrong. It's sin." And you say, "I'm not going to listen to you." That's grieving the Holy Spirit. Like I'm saying in the child touches way. Just as a parent who tells a child, "Please don't play with that fire, you'll burn yourself." And the child continues to play with the fire. You know what happens to the heart of the parent? You're sad, right? That's what it means. You grieve the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you. God says don't grieve. The presence of sin in any form grieves the Holy Spirit. It involves refusing to follow Holy Spirit's leading. You know what? It results in loss of fellowship with God, and your character and your knowledge of Christ stops. You may know the word, but your character for Christ is being stained. And unless you clean that up, you can't grow. Okay? And the author mentions here, it's quite interesting, spiritual darkness then comes over the person. The Christian is, God will give the Christian time for self-judgment and confession of sin. And you know, sometimes concerned Christians may speak to the person and all that, but if the person keep rejecting, you know what God says? Okay, that's enough, I'm getting involved. When God gets involved, I want to be out of the way. Why? That means God actually had to put in his judgment. You know, from the time we sin to the time God judges, it's a big, God actually puts in a lot of things to help us get right before he intervenes. Example, he gives us the word, confess, the Holy Spirit convicts us, we confess our sin, end of story, we move on. But if Holy Spirit convicts us, we don't want to confess our sin, alright, God says, okay, I need to put in things that will stop you. You still don't want? Okay, finally God says, okay, you're coming home. Or God has to put certain things that are really drastic. I've seen things happening to people. I mean, these are people who personally share with us the testimony of how God chastises them. And then God, they actually moved on because God had to do something so drastic. You know, my heart for every Christian, don't allow your Heavenly Father to do that. Number one, it grieves him and it will grieve you. Okay? But even though he does that, remember on Friday as we learned, it is to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. Okay? So don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Next one, Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit and will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. What does it mean? Obey the Spirit. Obey the Spirit. Obey the Word of God. Whatever you hear from the preaching of God's Word, whatever you hear from as you read the Bible, when someone encourages you through a verse that comes in and is relevant to your situation, obey that. Walk in the Spirit. Constantly. Mind, heart, and action consistent with the Holy Spirit. Make decisions consistent with the Holy Spirit. God says, don't be unequally yoked, non-believers. Then don't be unequally yoked, non-believers. If you are, break that relationship. But Brother Johnny, very painful. Sin is more painful to God. It cost him the Son of God. So we have a choice. When we don't deal with sin, you know, saying, God, I don't care what you've done for me. You know what that is? That is being ungrateful to God. Christians, can I tenderly say this? Don't be ungrateful to what God has done for you. Okay? So walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? I'm going to try to finish the next 6 points very quickly. Okay? John chapter 15, verse 2. What are some of the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God? As you are continuing to grow in Jesus Christ, God continue to change your life. As you let the Holy Spirit lead and control your life every day, the first thing, your life will show the fruit of the Spirit more and more. In John 15, verse 2, let me just read. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. If you don't bear fruit for Christ, there comes a time God says, sorry, I'm putting you on the shelf because you are not useful to me anymore. This passage in John 15 is not talking about salvation. Talking about usefulness to God. Okay, be very, very clear. It's not talking about salvation. Many churches use this. Don't come to church. It's talking about fruitfulness. Why? Jesus was talking to disciples. But he's telling them, if you don't bear fruit, I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off. You can't be of use to the kingdom of God. Okay? So every branch in me that beareth not fruit, you don't have the character of Christ, you don't grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You can grow in the written word, but you don't grow in the spiritual word, whereby your life is being transformed. God says, look, I'm going to focus on someone who wants to grow. Okay? And the Bible said, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. And Christians, purgeth involves pain. It means cut. For a gardener to prune a tree, he cuts off, right? The disease, the not bearing fruit part, right? So sometimes in your life, God may put certain things in your life. Why? To prune you. To purge and get rid of things, worms perhaps that will eat up that tree so that we will bear fruit. Okay? In John 15:8, I read, herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. Your life will show the fruit of the Spirit more and more. as you control. If our lives is not controlled by the Spirit of God, what will be the fruit be? Let's turn to Galatians 5. Okay, I just quickly run through a list of things, and perhaps it can be a checklist for us of is my life really controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, or is my life controlled by the flesh? God's word will show us. Okay, Galatians 5:19. The Bible says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." These are the works of the flesh. Use it for yourself first, primarily, okay, as a checklist. And if it's there, confess the sin and abolish and get rid of it. And also, sometimes it helps us to know what is happening in the world. And then we can actually have a biblical mind frame. What is the works of the flesh? In verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. I'll just go through it quickly. You can write now. Number one, adultery. Adultery is having illicit relationships outside of marriage. Fornication, immorality outside of marriage includes sodomy. The LGBT crowd, the homosexual crowd, that's involved in this. Because of the word porneia, anything regarding the word fornication comes from the word porneia, has having to do with all forms of sexual immorality. Okay, uncleanness, it has it means moral impurity, involved dirty jokes, dirty thoughts. Lasciviousness has the idea of a frame of mind that is impure. In other words, everything is impure. Have you ever talked to people? Every next sentence is a dirty joke, is a dirty connotation. That's what I call a lascivious mind. Christians ought never to watch movies that have that, listen to songs that has that, read romance more that slides into that. Because why? You are framing your mind to think like that. Does that make sense? And it's very subtle. Just a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here. And Satan controls that. Okay, a lascivious mind, a mind that is impure, is of the flesh. Verse 20, idolatry, anything that comes between us and God. It can be your girlfriend, boyfriend, it can be your family, it can be money, it can be your career, it can be anything. Idolatry. These are the works of the flesh. Witchcraft, he has the idea of the use of drugs, because the witchcraft comes from the Greek word we use, we get the word pharmacy from. Pharmakoa, which is Greek witchcraft. Okay, the idea of mind-altering substances. If you're involved in witchcraft, your mind alters, you get controlled by other things. Okay, that's what drugs, sometimes drugs, and you know what I mean, things that, chemical substances that actually change your mind. Okay, more subtle sins, Galatians 5:20, hatred. The word hatred has the idea of hostility to anyone. Hostility to anyone, and that's a sin. Variance, the word variance means given to argument, a contentious spirit. Every little thing you must fight on. Every little thing must fight on. Have you in your workplace, do you have people like that? Cannot. No. I think that line, Gideon, you must draw with a red color. Cannot draw black. Why cannot I say? No. That's a variance spirit. Every little thing must fight. That's a variance spirit. Emulation. The word emulation has the idea of jealousy. The thought is being bitter towards another person. Okay? Wrath, easily losing one's anger. Strife, meaning a nasty spirit. Sedition, causing divisions. Heresies. The idea of heresy doesn't mean he's teaching wrong doctrine. He has the idea of being stubborn, don't want to change. When you believe in something, you don't want to change. Okay? The heresies, the idea of being, the idea of being bullheaded. Stubborn and closely related to pride. People who are heretics don't want to change their position. Galatians 5:21, envyings, quite similar to jealousy, murders. What actually starts off the process towards murder? Sorry? Someone said something. What starts off the process towards murder? Anger. And specifically Matthew 5, angry with someone without a Bible reason. Okay? Drunkenness is interesting. The word drunkenness means simple intoxication. It involves the process having the qualities of being intoxicated. The act of drinking here is considered a work of the flesh. Drunkenness. Revelings. Next one. This is a get down, you know, wild partying, you know, or sabun party and all that kind of thing. This is the world of the flesh. Anyway, any Christian, parents, I hope you will make a stand not to allow your children to attend sabun party or any sort that that is the works of the flesh. They see things not supposed to see. They do things not supposed to do, according to the word of God. Revelings, the idea of let's live it out, let's get down, you know, let down your hair. Now, some people's hair very long, so, but you know, you just kind of just free yourself from all kinds of inhibitions and let's just party, you know. That is a work of the flesh. See, I'm in the flesh, really. The idea of partying, entertainment mentality, I need to be entertained. I need to be entertained. I just highlight one thing. There was one particular author. I know we talk a lot about what are the things that cause youth to leave the church. There was another article which is interesting. They actually did a survey. They look ahead to youth who actually stayed in the church when they are teens. And this I hope every parent will take note of. They cited three things. I can't remember all three, but I remember one thing. And they said the reason why the youth stayed in church after their teens, when everyone has left, is because they were equipped, not entertained in church. Parents, are you listening? Meaning, as the young people grow up in the church, they were taught the word of God. They were taught to serve. They were taught to put others first. They were equipped to not think about themselves and think about others first. They were not entertained by programs of the programs of the programs. And sometimes you come today, hey, what's the program in your church? Huh? Barbecue. All right, man. After that, what? Seminar on deciding right and wrong. That kind of mindset. But you know that even in the seminar, it's an equipping. And as a result, some of our youth have learned certain principles that they can equip in their lives to take them to the next generation. Okay, this is very important for us. Parents, we need to understand when children come to church, we're not here to make life comfortable, but to equip them for the life outside. If you don't learn what is here, taught in the Word, by yourself, parents teaching the Word at home, when your children go out and face the Hamas outside, okay, you know what's going to happen? Your children get killed outside spiritually and you don't even know anything. And no wonder many years later, they live the life that they live. They don't serve in God. Yeah, they go to church. By the way, going to church as a Christian is a given, by the way. Would you agree with that? It's just a duty. Every Christian needs to be in church. But it doesn't make you a spiritual Christian. We need to grow. Okay? Now, that's very, very important for me to just drop that in. Our goal is not to entertain or to make Christians feel good. Of course, we comfort in times of need. But you know what, Christians, when you come to church, it's time to grow. As we love God, love others, we leave this place, we love others outside, and they see the love of Jesus Christ. They say, hey, you've got something I don't have. I want to come too. But if we enjoy ourselves, hey, come in, we're going to have this movie night. I go to movies every night after work. What movie are you watching? Biblical creation. I'd rather go and see what? I don't know, Transformers or what? Something more exciting. Christians, we need to be very clear. Are we involved in works of the flesh? Okay? Because Paul says, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I've told you also in you in time past, the day which do such things will not go to heaven, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? But then, when I'm a Christian, submitted to the Holy Spirit, what is my fruit? Love. Love. Okay, I wrote here. It's selfless giving of ourselves to the Lord and to other people. Not selfie, eh? It's selfless. It's selfless giving of ourselves to God and to other people. And Christians, if your priority is only you yourself and family and everything that's yours, we need to have the love of the Spirit. Another first way is joy, quiet joy within, in midst of trials and strife. There's a peace. Next one is peace, a peace within that overcomes anxiety, peace with you that overcomes difficulties. And when everyone is anxious about certain things, you're at peace. I know of a lady, at least in the book, when she was having cancer, I can't remember what kind of cancer, but there was a reporter who was interviewing people with cancer and all that. I was just amazed at the peace that this lady has, even though she has cancer. And this lady said, well, the Lord Jesus Christ takes care of me, even in my cancer. I have nothing to worry about. Okay? Peace that passes all understanding. The peace that is beyond our understanding. Long-suffering has the idea of patience, forbearance, and a slowness to seek revenge. In other words, you can offend me till the day Jesus Christ comes. I'm not going to fight back. One of my heroes as a Christian is Jonathan Edwards. I mean, in the one, not either, his doctrine is a little bit, he's a Puritan. But you know, there was one situation in his life when he was a pastor. His uncle actually accused him of taking the church funds. If you know anything about Jonathan Edwards, he's very poor. Some of his children died of starvation and all that. And it's really sad. But Jonathan Edwards, in his writings, I wrote, after that, of course, then, because of the accusation, Jonathan Edwards, as pastor, he was kicked out of the church. No one wanted him anymore. He went to the Indians, he preached to them, had a good ministry among them. 26 years later, the uncle came back and apologized to Jonathan Edwards for what the accusation. Jonathan Edwards just forgave him. Because all along, he has never been angry. He's allowed the Holy Spirit to control his life all along. For me, that testimony etched in my mind. And you know what? The word long-suffering is not in the English vocabulary, by the way. Did you know that? It was a word coined by William Tyndale when he was translating the Bible. Okay? We'll be finishing in 3 minutes, okay? We'll just try to wrap up quickly. Okay? Long-suffering is a forbearance, patience, and slowness to seek revenge. A fruit of the Spirit, when controlled by the Holy Spirit, is gentleness, a spirit that's always kind, always helpful, always approachable. A fruit of the Spirit is goodness. The word goodness means active kindness. You do good to other people. Faith, the works that reflect faith in Christ. All right, baptism, service, overcoming, and growth. And then Galatians 5:23, meekness. Meekness has the idea, this is important, a discipline of your emotions. A discipline of your emotions. The ability to control one's emotions in the heat of the situation. That's meekness. Temperance has the idea of self-discipline. Temperance means is a forcing of ourselves to do what is right. When the Holy Spirit controls us, we aim to do right. Okay? Let's move on very quickly, all right? In James chapter... another fruit of the Spirit is a fruit of souls. John 4:36, I just give it to you. John, it's a fruit of souls. When you're a Christian, one of the fruit that will be evident from your life is that you win souls to Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that many of us are getting into that mindset. I'm thankful. You know why? Because that is a spiritual fruit. That members are having the heart to win people to Jesus Christ and concern for their soul. That is being controlled by the Holy Spirit. I'm glad as a pastor, but we need more of us to be having that mindset. Okay? Number two, very quickly, your prayers will be more effective. Okay, in James 5:7, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, prayers will be more effective. Your understanding of the Bible will increase. Why? Because the Bible was written by the Holy Spirit. And if you're yielded to Him, He'll teach you a lot of things. Okay? I just give you the points. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, your understanding of the Bible, point number 4, you will have power to witness. You have greater power to witness. Acts 1, 8 says, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Okay? Point number 6, you will have less. Are you listening? You have less trouble. You will have less. Where's my point? You have left self-inflicted trouble. Proverbs 1:33. Whoso hearkeneth unto me, wisdom, Holy Spirit, God, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You realize when you're yielded to the Holy Spirit? Yes. Oh, number 5. Oh, you will overcome. You will overcome temptations and to live a life of victory. Okay? Live a life of victory. You have God's power. Read the whole thing here. I think the line is a bit short. You have God's power to defeat temptation and sin and to live a life of victory. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away before all things are become new, right? Right? Wrong. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is, therefore, there's no temptation taken you but such is common to man. I mixed up. But God is faithful, who will, with the temptation, provide a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. Okay? So, as we close, a Christian can only live a spirit-filled life by faith. Question, are you filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis? Any questions? I know I've gone a bit fast towards the end. Any questions? I hope that we'll continue to talk about these things and to make sure that it's part and parcel of our lives. Okay? So I want to encourage us to continue to come, because next week, pray for me, we'll be studying a whole series on music. Okay? Music. All right? Looking at history, looking at church-related, the whole CCM movement, how we can practically in the church identify, because I want all musicians, okay, and those who are worship leading or involved in music in any way in our church, you must be at Sunday Bible Hour, all right? I want you to learn. The other thing, if you really come, then we'll take you aside. We have a special class, and I want us to be one mind towards what is right and wrong music, and as a church, we'll be able to identify and be vigilant against the whole CCM movement that is invading churches. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. I know I've talked a lot. Only your Holy Spirit is able to temper, Lord, the word and use it. Father, I submit this whole lesson into your hands. Lord, do with it as you will. I pray that it was some soul, Lord, that would be more filled with the Holy Spirit as a result of their responsibility they know towards you. Help us to realize, Lord, growth in Christ is never a one-sided work. It's just, I just wait and let the Holy Spirit do the work. Help us to realize, Lord, as a soldier going through BMT, a person going through the orientation, they need to participate in the orientation in order to get the most. Help us to cooperate with your Holy Spirit. Lord, when you send your Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, help us to confess it immediately. When you convict us of a certain area in our life, help us to change it immediately. When you want us to do certain things that will honor you, help us to honor you immediately. That we might constantly be in a moment-by-moment growth relationship with you. So Lord, we pray for the service to follow. I pray you bless everyone that is here. I pray that the word of God will take root. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.